When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Whoa!
What is this? Yeah.
Where's the excitement out of Evan?
What is this?
It's right here. I'm super excited. I'm excited to be here. Fucking love it.
You're embarrassing me.
Evan, where's your excitement? Where's your enthusiasm? It's another episode of Drinking Bros. Where are you at, Evan?
I'm logged on. I'm listening to the nightly news, I guess. That's where I'm at.
You're logged on. Who talks like that? My grandfather talks like that. I'm logged on.
Looking at the internet.
I'm just looking at the interwebs.
We are in like the fucking Black Rifle 1920s house, so it's appropriate to talk like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Are you really? Describe what that means, by the way. What is the Black Rifle 1920s house?
Well, it's a nice place, but it's super antiquated, and it looks like we're living in our grandmother's vagina.
It is a beautiful 5-bedroom abode in Cottonwood Heights, Utah, where this came fully furnished with china and ottomans and couches and golf clubs hanging on the wall.
How would you describe it, Kitco?
I'll tell you everything you need to know. There are pictures of fruit and fake fruit everywhere.
Perfect. Perfect. That sounds like my dream. And by the way, since this is an audio show, you want to introduce who our special guest is over there?
We have two special guests. We have Evan Hafer, who's a normal. You know, he's back.
He's a rag.
We all know Evan. We know I know Evan inside and out.
You know more of the inside than the outside, Jared. Let's be honest about it.
And then we have our lovely friend, who I'm sure you've seen in videos popping here and there, Mr. Kit Cope.
Yeah.
You're going to have to tell us about your accolades.
I want to tell about his accolades because I have such a man crush on him.
Let me hear what you got.
Not only is he a paramedic, but he is a 4-time world champion Muay Thai practitioner.
What?
In the big leagues here. And he just got married to his lovely fiance and girlfriend, which we attended your wedding in Vegas. And all around good dude. He makes fun of how I punch all the time, but that's okay. He's getting me better.
That is a good breakdown. That is a really good breakdown.
I like that breakdown. Hey, Kit, real quick, I had a quick question for you. Is it true that Muay Thai in Spanish means very Thai?
Muay Thai.
Good. Am I saying that wrong? Sorry, I'm saying that wrong.
Well, also, too, can you talk about what you've been doing the last few months and who you're working with?
What I've been doing for the last few... Oh, are you talking about on the race scene?
Yeah.
I am also... The only thing that got left out, really, you did a really good job.
Oh, thanks,
Bill. But I am a sports performance coach for professional athletes, and I happen to be Mr. Ken Block's performance coach.
Yeah!
So I've been traveling around the Europes and coaching him through races.
I feel like not only with the professional athletes that you work for all time, you have all of us that text you annoyingly like, hey, man, so can you count my macros for me?
I get a lot of those.
Hey, you know that's not what I'm texting him.
Yeah, you're texting him, is this wart okay in my dick?
Yeah, just dick pics.
Because Evan gave it to me.
Straight dickies. Right.
That, and it's never going to be on his dick.
Actually, not straight dickies. They're really
curved.
It's
never going to be there.
Curbs, Dickies.
Well, hey, well, Kit, welcome to the show. Evan Hafer, it's always a fucking pleasure to have you. And before we get started tonight, kids, I wanna say the real MVP tonight is Matt Best. He had dental surgery today, was a little groggy, and came back to do the show like a real fucking MVP. So we appreciate you being here, Matt.
I would say more than a little groggy. Like, he was a zombie. He was, he was a zombiever.
Yeah, well,
he came into my office, and we were talking. We're just, you know, shooting the shit as
rapping.
Normal.
Yeah.
However, all the food that he was trying to eat ended up in his lap. And he got a ride home.
I had him
sign a few contracts. Not a big deal.
I did. I walk in and Evan's like, "Hey, I need you to sign this real quick." And I was like, "Are you fucking with me? Because I'm high right now from the dental office."
Not only that, but we closed a massive book deal like literally at the exact same time, and it was like Matt was Weekend at Bernie's today. This is great.
Maybe you should just check out every day.
I know. Maybe I just need to like go under once in a while. So if you do hear me like talking like I'm a 16-year-old girl today on the show, it's because I got a bunch of shit in my mouth. Yeah,
I saw him actually as he was driving up to the office and got out of the car. And he got out of the car and I was like, hey, what's up?
That's not the Matt I know.
What's wrong with your face?
Kid immediately knew how swollen my mouth and lips because I couldn't feel my face. I was fucking like, what's his name? I can't feel my face.
And then I actually felt bad for a second because I go, what's wrong with your face? And he goes, what? What do you mean? And I was, oh shit, did I just... Are we not supposed to say anything?
Look, that happens when you get back from the dentist. I mean, a lot of girls felt like that after their first date with Bill Cosby. So is it too soon? Is it too soon is what it is?
No.
It's never too soon.
All right. Never. But Matt, in sincerity, like the audience will never know, but you were gone today and we appreciate you being here. Like that's a real MVP move.
Are we going to talk about the book deal? Because I was impressed.
We will.
We get into that. Yes,
we will get into that. But first up, Kit, we've got some sponsors that pay for this whole fucking Gilligan's Island to be saved, if you will. First up, it's a new one to the show, but God damn it, if I don't feel safer at night, it's Havenlock.com. Look, kids, if you're at home, you got a beautiful wife. Maybe she's an 8 to a 10. Maybe she is the full dime. Maybe she's the whole fucking Franklin. You want to keep her safe at night. You want to get her a nice lock for that front door so nobody's trying to get in and steal her or your kids. Go to havenlock.com. That's HAVENLOCK.com.
Hey, you know what else could happen? You could have had a girl pee on the carpet with Rocco, and you just want to make sure no one breaks in and cleans it up when you're not home.
That's right.
Oh, dude, 10 times 10. That's keeping it 100 right there. Go to havenlock.com. They raised over 100 grand in Kickstarter, which is next to impossible. They are veteran owned. It is the best lock you'll ever have in your entire life to keep you, your family, your dog, and your fish safe. Go to havenlock.com, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get the fucking lock for $99, which is virtually stealing it.
99 problems, but a lock ain't
one. Dude.
Hey, I might be still a little high from all those drugs they're pumping into me today.
No
so
worries.
Sorry.
You know what you should do? Pour a little Strike Force energy on those wounds.
Nice.
You'll come back to life in no time. True story. Strike Force energy. I'm down in a remote part of Africa. I don't want to say where it is because I don't want to give up my locations all the time. But an elephant got his tusk ripped clean off of his head. I saw a tribesman pour some Strike Force energy on it. He retusked up. So
whoa.
Yeah, you don't
like an instant thing.
Yeah, boom, right at like a starfish.
So I shouldn't even went to the dentist. I should have just drank some Strike Force.
Yep, you could have retusked up in a second, dude. So if you're at home, you want to retusk up or even just get that boner higher, go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. It's the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch of energy drink that you can possibly have. It goes in waters, teas, whiskeys, beers, urine, you name it. It'll get you going. It'll get your juices flowing. Type in the promo code Drinking Bro. You get 20% off of every single order. They ship everywhere in the entire world, including that little tiny village in Africa I was talking about earlier. And they've all they have a subscription, and they've also got a 750 milliliter bottle that's got 100 servings in it. You can walk around and squirt it.
I used to be about that the subscription life. I'm about that bottle life now, man. That is the epitome of laziness, and I love it.
Oh, it's the best, isn't it?
It's like a soap dispenser with fucking energy. So when you just walk over, dude, I put it in coffee. I just fucking YOLO it. Boom.
Yeah.
Does it have a flavor?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's tasty. It's amazing. It's like kind of like a Red Bull-esque flavor, but not as
it's own thing. It's own thing.
It's complete own thing.
It's actually amazing. There's no carbs and sugars in it, Kit, so it'll keep all those people you
healthier,
train
more
get,
healthy.
Yeah. Get going.
I'm on it. Strike force.
Yeah, but that squirt bottle that Matt's talking about, it's like having that bottle of extra large Jergens next to the bed where it's like you'll never get to the end of that bottle, you know, that Costco bottle.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. Don't put that shit next to the lotion or lube in the bed, because one night when I was going in dirt, I was assaulting like a fucking Bin Laden raid, and I squirted some fucking strike force on my dick, and let's just say... I'm having a baby.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
You double tapped it.
I thought it was going to, you have to hire a new lawyer kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I just said baby. I'm not having a baby, but some weird shit went down.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. He double tapped it. It's totally fine. And look, and if you're double tapping at home, let's say you're trying to kill Bin Laden, load up on some TartarusOrdnance.com. That's TartarusOrdnance.com. For all your home defense ammunition needs.
I wish a motherfucker would.
I wish a motherfucker would. I wish they would.
I wish that's like Kit's motto when he's walking around.
It
is. Like, I wish a motherfucker would try.
Yeah. Well, look, you go to TartarusOrdnance.com. They've got home defense ammunition. They're dealing firearms. They got everything you need up in that bitch. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of everything in the entire store, including like tactical classes. You can get 10,000 rounds.
One episode, Ross, I'm going to have you say, instead of firearms dealer, a registered FFL, just so you can be like, you can get the gangster terms going on.
By the way.
That's fine. I'll put an emoji on the end of that, too. You know what I'm saying?
I'm also a registered FFL.
You are, kid.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. I am a firearms manufacturer.
Oh, look at you.
I also
a 10.
So, I also have an SOT, so I can actually manufacture.
Okay, I was gonna say,
that's cool. No, I hooked up with somebody in the WNBA, title? So we're good.
They just give it to you.
They have to do that for you?
They just give it to you,
that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey.
So I just manufactured my first full auto the other day.
You know what? A story we have to come back to after the sponsors is a stolen valor story that all of us participated in.
I've told that story so many
times.
Okay,
let's hit the sponsors. But that's a fucking great way. We haven't been in the same story since that happened.
It's so good.
Go ahead, Ross. Sorry to interject there, buddy.
No. Absolutely. We'll hammer that. Like, we're on no time limit with sponsors.
We'll MC it, dude. We'll MC hammer.
Yeah.
We're
on no time limit with these sponsors. They just gots to get gots to. There's no time limit at which they gots to be getting to. Next up, we got not only fan fave but one of the podcast hosts, new fucking sponsor. He's a part of the company warfightertobacco.com. Smoke them if you got them. Smoke them. If you know somebody who needs to be smoked, smoke them out. Go to warfightertobacco.com, 100% combat veteran owned. The finest cigars in the goddamn land. They are made with Cubano seeds in the Dominican Republic. They are hand rolled with little tiny fingers to your liking. Shipped straight to your mouth. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of every cigar in the store. They've also got dope ass T-shirts, by the way. A lot of people at Freedom Fest were like, "Hey, who are you wearing?" I was wearing Drinking Bros Podcast.com T-shirts and WarfighterTobacco.com T-shirts. Big fan of their shirts.
I like it. Is it how it is now in the tactical community? So who are you wearing? That's not Art 15 or
anything. I know it is.
This season.
This is Warfighter Tobacco. Oh my God, I have to get that Perth.
Yeah.
That's good though.
That's what it's come down to now.
It's this season's hottest.
We love Warfighter though. Those guys are fucking legit dudes. Every event we put on for charity and stuff, they're all out there in full force and supporting it. So thanks guys. You guys are rad. And Rocco's part of the team now, apparently. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking rad. Next up, dude, we signed a book deal today, but one of the first book deals. Was it Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes? Matt, give me that horse. Give me that goddamn horse. God damn it. You know that makes my day, right? Every time you do that, it makes my day.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a little slow today.
No, so, I enjoy the horse noise
like
more than
Valium.
Life.
They put some funky gas in me, some other weird shit underneath my tongue.
A lot of nitrous.
You going out.
A lot of nitrous. Speaking of which, if you're into drugs, At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, they got a ton of drugs and killing in it. You can get it in every fucking store there is, Barnes & Noble, fucking Walmart, you name it. We're there. At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. I do the audio. It's the greatest goddamn book ever until Matt's comes out.
That is true. And if you didn't know, I mean, Ross, you're co-writing the book with me, so that's kind of a big deal.
Correct. And it's going to be the greatest book of fucking 2017 and moving on for the rest of our lives.
We've talked about it before, and it's kind of funny because I think a lot of people are going to take the cliche like, oh, Matt's selling out and doing a book. Am I selling out? I don't know.
No, you're not, actually. You're not.
I kind of want to make some money and share a super fun story. But so this book, we won't really put out too much how it is, but it's essentially going to be when I started in high school being a fucking fat little nobody into where we're at today and all the crazy stories along the way. And it's more of a humor through horror thing when the worst shit in your life happens, how I just kind of learned to learn, laugh it off.
Exactly.
Are you including the FaceTimes in the shower part?
I think that I came up with their stuff. I got a blowjob on Skype in front of a fan one
Yeah,
time,
that was good. That was
like
a good one. That was a really good one. You can actually tell all now.
I can tell all. Yeah. I am.
You can. You've just changed the dynamic in your book in the last 30 days.
Oh yeah. It's Harlem World now in Matt's world. It's going to be great. And it's again, it'll probably. Fuck, man.
No, not everything. There's a solid 2% that should never see the light of the day.
There's not tell. It's never tell all.
Yeah, but yeah. Look, in all sincerity, I think it'll change the game, and everybody in the publishing world is excited about it. I've never seen people that amped over a book before.
Are we closing with those one people? Is that like a 90%? Yeah.
Correct. We are. That is 99. The foreign rights are the only negotiables tomorrow morning, and that deal will be closed by noon, my man.
Cool. Which means we gotta start writing the book. Well, hopefully next summer or something. We'll get
celebrate.
To
actually the publisher has set a date. It'll be late summer, early fall of 2017. Cool. So
I like that. That's my birthday.
That's great.
I know. It starts early.
Here's my big question. Do I get to take the photography for the cover?
Actually, yes, Jared. Yeah. One, you probably will, too. Matt and I have gotten you a gift that will be, I'm going to go ahead and say it now. It's going to be the greatest gift you'll ever receive in your entire life.
It probably is.
It's a pig in a leather vest.
No. It's something personal. That's all I'm going to say. So I've taken the time with it. A lot like you guys have taken the time with Black Rifle Coffee, our last sponsor. Evan, tell us a little bit about Black Rifle.
Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee company. We roast and deliver your coffee within 72 hours. We ship, so your order comes in. We roast the next day. We ship the following day. So it is the finest, freshest cup of coffee you can get on the internet. So I beat all the big dogs, man. There is not a roast-to-order coffee company in the nation that can deliver the quantity and quality of coffee that we do in the United States.
And you actually just did some more fulfillment stuff coming up. So you have, it's cheaper for customers for their shipping prices.
Yeah, so we're going to start knocking down the shipping prices by Christmas. So we used to have our shipping was outsourced. So we pulled all that back in. And we do it all with Black Rifle employees. So we shifted over for like 3 months. It was a fucking horrible
mistake. A lot of veteran employees.
Most. So most of the guys right now that work for Black Rifle Coffee, we're all vets.
ROTC cadets.
We got some cadets. Yeah. Give a shout out to Garbage Can. He's our intern.
I will say, though, you would
I
think
love
people
garbage
think
can.
That I'm like the entertainer side of that stuff. Evan has me boxing for 13 hours a day in fulfillment. I say, hey,
he's fucking fast.
Can I work 12 hours? He's like, bitch, Baker's Dozen today. And that's about what I get.
Baker's Dozen. Hey, by the way, like you just gave me an idea when you kind of did the intro. Can I have a radio budget tomorrow?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm gonna go into the studio. I'm gonna make some radio ads.
Yeah.
I'll give them to you for approval.
Perfect.
I'll try and keep them clean.
try
and keep them clean.
Evan, here's what I'm dying to know. You guys have a massive, massive operation there. What is it, 40,000 square feet out in Utah?
39,863.
Great, because you know, that last 137 feet. If you didn't get that right, I would have fucking taken you to the grave for it.
I'd fucking round that. I'm not going to round that off.
Nah, I appreciate it. That look, I appreciate it. It's the small stuff that I appreciate.
Russ, I like. By the way,
I know
he
where
is
going.
He is so excited for this.
You better be.
What did you? You gave me an ultimatum or something. You said that you would, if we go through with this, you're going to give me something or you're going to do something.
Yes.
So and let me clarify. This is like. You know, we jumped through our ass to get this. Like Black Rifle Coffee, like we don't.
You did or you did not get this, by the way.
No, we did. Like it's done.
Oh my god!
No! You don't know. You don't know what he's about. He's. We're on two separate planes right now.
Okay.
Got it. The building is one thing. Ross is looking forward to our future plans for the roof.
Okay, I want. Here's what I want, because I know you have 40,000 square feet next to I-15. Correct.
Correct.
Yes. So Jared said we're going to get a fucking billboard to go on the roof for all of I-15 to see every morning, an electronic billboard that we can change every single day.
Correct. Exactly what we're going to do.
Oh my god. I will
Ming Lee's Handies and Sandies, the home of the $2 hand job and the
$3
man. $5 you can get off and get a full stomach.
God damn it.
The Matt Best glory hole.
Yep.
I love it so much. You can get potato sticks or you can get tummy sticks, whatever you're
into.
Dude,
I like Big Ron's pump and dump.
Yeah,
gas and garbage.
Yeah, it's a Big Ron's pump and dump.
Yeah, Big Ron. Put a fake picture of Ron on there. Put a fake picture of Ron on the billboard.
So people come up to Black Rifle like, hey, man, where's that Ron's pump and dump? You're like, Oh, no.
That's just a joke.
You dumb motherfucker. You send them over to Public House.
I'm gonna
the address.
I'm going to send them to Brahma right next door. like a real professional. So here's what happened, right? So we went in, we fucking scraped all the dimes and pennies and everything else we had together. We jumped through our ass. We bought a piece of property we could jump into or grow into, right? Well, the building... or the company that was there before us was called Brahma Drilling. It's like one of the largest drilling, mining, fucking industry professionals in the world, right? So, but they moved right next door. So they built this huge, massive facility.
I bet they love you guys.
No, we had a race truck doing donuts out there on Saturday. The first day, like the day after I took keys, I almost killed two dudes in the parking lot, which I was like fucking praying to God they would get out of there.
They're like crackheads on our property.
Trying to steal shit.
You have to specify that you just killed two people on the property.
I almost murdered it. So I was dumping some trash out and we had this big dumpster and I'm out there and I've got my wife and my daughter with me and, couple guys roll in, like just shady looking shit bags, roll in through the gate, and I'm like, hey, you know, whistle them up. I'm like, turn around, motherfuckers, private property. And they started mouthing off, and they turned around, and I like jumped down out of my truck, and I'm like, hey, get the fuck out of here. This is private property. And I knew what they were doing. They're looking for shit to steal. And they stopped. So, you know, good old appendix carry, fucking long slide Glock, man, fucking rip that baby out. I was like, I said something super fucking.
Did you draw down?
Super dark.
Oh, yeah.
You went super dark. You were like,
no. I was
this
like,
is the last day you'll breathe.
Yeah. No. I was like, I said, take a step, and this will be your last day, like your last day on the planet, or something like that, right? And I was, goddamn, dude, I wanted this so fucking bad.
You wanted that split side kill, bro.
But my 2-year-old is in the truck, and I'm like, this is gonna be your first memory, like daddy executing two fucking crackheads in the parking lot.
Yes.
But I'm like, they pulled away, and I'm like, oh, I better go around the corner if I'm gonna kill these motherfuckers. So I go around the corner. And they stopped, and so they were yelling some gibberish, and I was like, "Please, please, God, get out of this fucking van, because I don't have a pro timer on me, but I guarantee I could have dropped these fucking two idiots, like killed both of them in less than 4 seconds with
for sure,
absolutely."
Well, and can I say another weird fact about Evan Hafer? Your Glock, like you have lots of extra mags. You consistently carry like 4 rounds in it, and it pisses me off because every time I grab it, I'm always I check. I'm like, why is it so light? You have 4 rounds in here. You're like, oh, that's all I need. We'll be fine. And I'm like, no, motherfucker. I got 30 in my bitch.
But if Brahma has a Facebook page, if you could visit it and just hashtag keys for Black Rifle.
Oh my God!
Oh boy!
If Brahma Drilling has any social media,
for the audience, like we'll let them in on this story. I heard when you guys bought the building, they just give you a trash bag full of 40,000 keys. Is that
they
true?
They fucking gave me
and
a Ziploc bag,
like you were in a jail cell on Andy Griffith.
Yeah, it became a fucking game, and I'm like livid. So I'm like talking to a couple of the guys in the office. I'm like, I'm gonna take these fucking keys. I'm gonna go over next door. I'm going to yank their CEO up by the ear and fucking drop these keys in his desk and go, the next time somebody gives you a full price offer on your building, you better treat them fucking nice. And but they really wouldn't let me do that. And I was pretty adamant. But what I will say is that the fucking first day that dude comes over and complains about noise or one of our Ming Lee's, Handy's and Sandy's fucking electronic sign shit, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that fucking day, because I'll be like, I'm going to drop him a big bag of keys and go, find out where these go in this building and I'll take down whatever the fuck you want.
But I actually found them
on Facebook.
But Brahma's in a pickle. They're in a pickle because we own the building. And we're also really good friends with all the police in the area.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do. They're going to fucking love you guys. It's going to be a match made in heaven.
It's a match made in heaven.
Wait till we have like an at noon on a Wednesday rock concert in the parking lot.
Yeah, now that Jared is buying rally cars.
No, I want to shoot a full-on porn on the roof.
I was going to say,
boy.
You guys
just
have
fucking full porn, man.
You have enough room for like a fucking carnival back there.
Yeah, like,
we should do a fucking carnival.
We should do the 200th there, and then have like 18 couples fucking in front of each other, just out there in the carnival.
We should have a porn going on the roof and one of those Ken Block, what'd you call it, the Gymkhana.
Shoot in the back?
The Gymkhana just doing fucking donuts. Wait for the CEO to come over. I'm just going to drop those keys at his feet. There you go.
That's
how about that?
Scary part of owning our own building, because we can literally do whatever the fuck we want now.
It's great.
They're in a situation that they can't win.
No.
Because who are they going to call?
They're not going to call the female Ghostbusters. I can tell you that goddamn much. Jared. So,
Rotten Tomatoes.
The Highway Patrol. They were at the office today.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
They're at the office every day. I drink whiskey with them like regularly in the evenings.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Your people are going to hate you, much like this election. Kids, we're going pre-election predictions tonight. We got a big one coming up next Tuesday. We got Trump versus Hillary. Big election.
Is this a video game or is this actual?
I like the versus part.
Yeah, versus.
That's what it's come down to. We've got he grabbed her by the pussy. She's got hidden emails.
Small hands versus emails.
Yeah, since we got a new guest to the show tonight, Kit Cope. We'll get to you first. How do you feel about this election?
I feel pretty much the same way that everybody else feels. That it's fairly unbelievable that this is actually our election for this country.
It's crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy.
It's completely crazy. It's the two candidates that everybody joked about before they actually started running. Like, oh, wouldn't it be funny? Wouldn't it be funny if it was Hillary Clinton
and
Donald Trump?
Well, shuck this dick when Clinton and Trump are in the primary. Fuck.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, Kit, I thought during the primaries, before it started, I would have told you Bush versus Clinton. Jeb, that is. And I think a lot of people would have. And then Trump came out of nowhere, and it was like, oh, my God. He got through the primaries somehow. And it's not only got through the primaries, steamrolled everybody for the primaries. Then he got to the general versus Hillary, and you're like, this still isn't going to happen.
Right.
Here we are the day before. He is ahead in the polls now. As of today, he moved ahead in the polls.
Yep.
Oh, you can't say that necessarily, right? You got a 3% margin of error.
What? No, you can. But as far as that 3% margin goes, He's at a plus one. So look, it could go plus four for him. Could be minus two for her. You never know.
And that's just general, right?
We're talking. Correct.
Not electoral.
How many movies are going to be made about this election?
Look, I think
there's going to be so many movies, satires, comedy shows.
I think Idiocracy already did this before a long time ago. But I will say this, as far as, you know, political science classes and history classes go for the rest of our lifetime, win or lose for Trump, he changed the game. Like there's no going back now. And it proves that anybody can do it, including, you know, a lot of people have been screaming hate for.
You don't necessarily be a good politician or a good, you know, lawmaker. You just need to be an entertainer.
And that's where I was going. I mean, it could be hate for best 2020. Hate for best.
Boom.
Fucking love it.
A lot of people are saying hate for best.
We've had an actor president already.
We have. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Yeah. Yep. We had Matt's hero as the governor of California when I was living there. Schwarzenegger was there for.
That is true.
Oh.
I mean, we won't get too excited. He's married in the Kennedy family, but it is what it is.
He's not even from this country. Evan. He still speaks with an accent. With you.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good duo.
I'm smart enough on certain levels to handle vice presidency, but I'm dumb enough where I can get away with it as VP. So like you'd be held accountable. Like look at Biden. Like Joe Biden is a shit show. Like when he talks, I don't even think he knows what he's saying.
He doesn't.
That's why he doesn't talk anymore. Yeah. You never hear anything.
No, yeah.
They put a gag order on it. They did.
Yeah, it's like literally you had the vice president of the United States say, all I have to do is rack my shotgun and shoot a round in the air. And you're like, Mr. Biden, that's a felony. You can't really do that. So like, all right, fuck it.
So, you know? So Kit, with the election, you know, coming up tomorrow, one, did you early vote? Two, if you didn't, are you voting and who is that for?
I did early vote.
Yes, so did I. So did I.
I voted on the fucking day that it was possible.
I did as well in North Carolina.
My brand new wife and I actually went straight out and voted.
Did she vote the same as you?
She did vote the same as
yes,
I did.
Yes, good woman. Good woman.
Yeah. And it was actually kind of a weird voting experience because it was very, what do you want to call it? Like, unceremonial. Like it was you walked up and I thought I had to have my voter registration card at least. You know, look here, I am allowed to vote.
It's crazy that they don't check that anymore, right?
Yeah, here's my
ID. That's discrimination.
Here's my voter registration card. And they were like, no, you're good. You're good. You just need your last name. You got your last name? I'm like, I got lots of people's last names. I could give you any last name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. What's your last name?
Nevada's a swing state.
Here you go. And then straight to the fucking the cool little machine.
Yeah, the machine. I did the machine. Who are you voting for in this election? Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Mr. Donald Trump.
Yes, so did I. So did I. So that way it's out in the open. We can all get it out in the open now.
Yeah.
And so did I.
Yeah, I'm okay with saying that.
I want to preface this. Like, I never want to be, and Evan and I, you and I had a really good conversation about this, where it's like, I never want to impede on people's personal opinions and what they believe
me neither.
This country should be, because as a United States American, you have the ability and the free right to vote, which is amazing, right? Whether you think that.
We have that in a lot of places don't.
When people, like, someone would vote for Hillary, I'm not going to fucking get mad. But at the end of the day, you're kind of like, well, can we have a conversation so I can fill you in on some shit? It's like when your buddy starts dating that super hot, crazy girl, you're like, he's like, this is the shit. She said this. And you're like, I should probably fill you in on the backstory because in 3 years when nuclear missiles get launched, we should probably talk about that.
Right.
Yeah, because with me personally, we have the same feelings on this type of stuff. Like,
listen, I'm a gun-toting hippie, so you won't see me. I'll be fucking voting Republican probably the rest of my life until the left side comes along and says, yes, suppressors should be fucking acceptable over the counter. Yes, they fucking should, you dumbasses.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly. And it's one of those things, too, where you know, at the top, when you were saying, we don't discriminate against people. We don't care we don't give a shit who you vote for, and we're not trying to influence you. We're just telling you who we're voting for and why tonight. Make your own decisions.
I give a shit a little bit, I think, but it's Well, I'm not going to attack people. It's like,
yeah, you're not going to attack people, but you'll judge them behind closed doors, same as me, where I'll be like, fuck that guy. Dude, that guy voted for
you. Well, you try to present them with information if they shut you down in like an ignorant state of like, I went to liberal arts college. It's like, cool, I knocked it out in 3 years. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and I always think about that when I'm in those conversations with people that have like these like direct opposing views where I'm like, you know what, if there was ever like a downfall of our democracy and some type of weird revolution, you know, could I, you know, line this person up and, you know, basically push them off into a ditch? So that's the way I look at people. You know, typically I'm like, okay, if you're off in that camp, you might be one of those people that I could probably make that decision with.
I fully concur.
Is that too dark?
No, not at all. I like that viewpoint.
I often wonder, I wish it was like back in the 50s or before that, the cowboy days. Let's go like 20s. When you can just look at someone and they're just like, raping women is fine because I'm a man. And you're just like, cool, I'll be at your house at 2 a.m. I'm going to cut your fucking throat out. It's going to be awesome.
Or you could actually punch somebody in the face.
You could actually punch somebody in the face and not get fucking sued. Kit has a perfect story about that.
I have lots of really good stories.
My buddy and I, we were actually talking to a professor from Columbia University a few years ago. And he was attending Columbia University, and he was working with us in his office. And that is so fucking gray. It's working for us in his office.
Yeah, Evan, yeah. Who is us? Who's your other buddy?
So we're working for the agency. He was attending Columbia University. He's a great story where he's like, you know, we're like traveling warrior poets, right? So semi or pseudo intellectuals that actually pick up a book every now and again. And he gets into this conversation with a prof from Columbia and just fucking destroys him intellectually. And then he goes, at the end of the conversation, he's like, and oh, by the way, I can take you out back and beat the living fuck out of you too. So what do you think about that?
And there's that.
Yeah, I love that.
It was fucking excellent. It was absolutely excellent because there's no basis to any of the arguments, right? It was like all this like surface level horse shit that was not backed by any historical fact or data. And it was just amazing to kind of see that whole thing unfold.
Well, let me ask you this, Evan, did you early vote? Are you voting?
I didn't. I like to vote on the day, man. It's like, I haven't been in the United States very much in the last 10 years.
Right.
So like for me to go to the voting booth, it's actually, it's still kind of a novelty. Like my entire adult life, I've been basically deployed.
It's an event for you.
It is. Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. So I enjoy that.
So you want to be, you want to be part of that fucking countdown.
Fuck yeah, man. Like, like I want to go, I'm going to stand in line like the whole fucking nine, dude. Like, it's like, it's one of those things that I fought for and I really want to see what it's all about. And I want to see and experience firsthand.
And that standing in line gives you an opportunity to converse with some of the other fucking yahoos.
Yeah, have fun with that. I mean, Salt Lake City's a fairly conservative town, but I voted in Santa Barbara, California, the last election. That's how it was.
Oh, really?
It's just, Jesus, like the most liberal town ever. And they're just like, ew, you fuck.
Yeah, you're throwing your vote away. You're throwing your vote away.
Open carry. No, if you did that in fucking my town, California, you'd...
Oh, man.
You pull out a fucking, like, an airsoft AR and you'd be in jail. It's crazy.
So on that same note, I just had my dad in town for the weekend.
Did he
that
vote?
Me.
Did your dad
and
vote,
he,
Kit?
No, not yet. He lives in California. So he actually came into town to bring me all of his ARs and all of his mags and everything to store them at my house because of the impending doom of pre-Cambrian laws that go into effect January 1st in California.
Yep.
Wow.
They're doing, right, because you have to, I don't know if the one passed about you have to get the background check for the ammunition.
Yeah.
It did, right?
Yep, there's that one, and then there's the, you have to register all of your, all ARs as assault weapons.
Yeah. And then the fixed, again, they went back to the fixed magazine, I think the 10-round fixed.
Yep, 10-round magazine. So every magazine that you have over 10 rounds is a separate felony.
Right.
Boom!
Wow.
Dude, I would literally have, if I was in California, like 1,000.
What they're gonna realize is that this created a ton of paperwork, a ton of man hours, and nothing's gonna change.
Yeah, no, I don't think anything's gonna change.
All the bad guys are still gonna be having whatever the fuck they want.
Listen, we've all been there and we all know that. So yeah, it's like, exactly. We're beaten to a fucking dead horse. Yeah. It's a fucking idiot.
You know what I love? The other day, Ross, Caitlin, my wife, shared the Black Rifle Coffee commercial that was posted Monday morning.
Big fan. Huge fan of that commercial. I didn't know it was going to happen. It popped clean, up in my feed. Simple. It was really good. Really well done.
And somebody, I could, you know, my wife's from New Jersey, so a lot of her,
relatives are, it was sleeping with the fishes, shall we say?
You know,
yeah,
Chris Christie.
Oh boy, camel toe.
Anyway,
I love him.
The first comment was from one of her friends that just said, "I don't like that there was a handgun on the nightstand when she woke up." And my wife just replied, "Did you look at the name of their company?"
And I still saw it coming. I was like, but it still scares me. I was like, what? It's a fucking video.
I'm still scared. That's fucking hilarious. Evan, who you got in this election? Who you voting for?
You know, I'm reluctantly casting my vote for Donald Trump.
Jay Trump.
Absolutely.
Okay.
When I say reluctantly, you know, it's a rock and a hard place election for me. It really is. Like it's just a rock and a hard place.
Look, it is for a lot of people.
That has a brain.
Yeah.
Anybody that has any smarts at all, it's a lesser of two evils.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You know, and at the end of the day, like, you know, I warboarded it out and I went pros and cons. Not really. I mean, I've always just had a fucking absolute disdain for that woman. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I have like such a burning fucking hatred for her that it just.
Sold her soul to the devil, that one.
Yeah. And if you've gotten on WikiLeaks and like seen any.
Yeah, I read it all.
The email traffic.
It's crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
you know what?
Crazy. Aside from her politics, she's just a shitty person. And that was something I asked when we were in D.C. for the premiere. I was actually like tagging along on a business meeting with a buddy at lunch, and he had two people there. And I was like, you know, I've never actually met anybody that supports Hillary. And the girl goes, well, I do. And I said, why? You know, she's like a horrible person. Like if she met you, like you're garbage to her. Like right. She would walk on you.
Yeah.
If she didn't want to get her shoes dirty, I go, why would you back somebody that would do that? And she had no answer. Well, I don't know that she would do that. I go, no, I know people that worked on her staff that said she treats peons like fucking garbage and dirt. Like, so aside from politics, aside from breaking, you know, laws, like you're just that person that thinks that you're above everything and fuck everybody else. Like, that's just disgusting.
No, you're a sidewalk to people like her. Like ultimately, like people are just, they're just quite literally cement that is poured in order to pave their way from point A to point B. So like you spit on a sidewalk, you throw trash on it, you fucking walk on it every day. It's not like you walk around thanking the sidewalk. You know what I mean? You don't even fucking think about it.
Somebody said to the other day that
good analogy.
They made the analogy that you're just a pawn for Hillary. But you're really not a pawn because basically like groups of people are a pawn.
Correct.
Entire societies are a pawn.
Right.
You are way less than an actual piece on the board.
The individual is quite literally a grain of sand in the bag of cement that they fucking walk on.
That's right. A grain of sand that you wash off your asshole in the shower after fucking 3 days at a fucking beach.
Correct.
That's the best analogy we've had on this show in the history of our show.
One tainted grain of sand.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. It's a hard election. I think anybody like that has some form of libertarian thinking, and that's what I hate, which is sucked with this election. It's like most of us at this table, I can probably, we're more, I'm a libertarian. I don't know about you. Like,
I'm a libertarian.
I always say guns for gays, man, is the way I go. You should do whatever you want to do in life as long as it doesn't impede on other people's personal safety and it promotes patriotism and the overall goal of America and the Constitution. So it's like, shouldn't be that hard. But then when you look at these fucking.
Hey, Matt, if you're going to rant, tonight's the episode to do it.
No, I'm still on my doctor meds.
Fucking rant.
Tonight's
the night. Let's rant.
It's getting it's getting deep tonight.
You know what I saw, dude, the other day? It was on Facebook, and it was like someone did a satire of it, a conservative satire, which is awesome. And it was about how all the Hollywood actors come on and be like, you need to vote. it is important about this. And you're just like, and the unfortunate reality is people will vote because they like Beyonce. She says, vote Hillary. They'll fucking vote with nothing. So it's like, I don't know where that problem stems from, but it's educate yourself at least on one issue.
I've got something to say.
Wait, hang on. Jared, I'm going to interrupt you real quick because to Matt's points.
I'm picking off a...
No, I know, but some of the breaking news today was Jay-Z is playing in Cleveland, Ohio, a free show. For Hillary.
Of course he is.
For Hillary. Of course he is. For that exact reason of he did it in 2012 for Obama as well.
Yeah, it's Ohio.
Yes.
Right? So I mean they're tight, man. It's a swing.
Yeah.
So of course he is.
Yeah.
Well,
of course he is.
As a business owner, I would look at Ohio and be like, the conversions are gonna be very, very high. And so if we get these people to be motivated to actually conduct the act of converting to a vote, you would get them.
Absolutely.
Well, so here's what I want to say. Like celebrities, to me, they are like pilots, like military pilots. And I love military pilots being a JTAC, but military pilots, when it comes to leadership, they don't have it and they don't understand it, because the life cycle of a military pilot is you are a young officer and you are only in charge of your jet. That's all you worry about. People fix your jet. They fuel your jet. They fucking make sure that your jet's nice and clean when you get in it, and you fly that jet and you're good at flying that jet. But when it comes down to managing a bunch of people in whether the military or a workforce or anything like that, they don't have that experience, because up to the point until they're a very matured major or a lieutenant colonel and they're taking a squadron, they've never had to worry about a group of people. They only have to worry about their jet. And that's like celebrities. They have money and some of them are wealthy and rich, but they have never had to fucking actually do real, real work when it comes down to, they have people that do everything for them. So when they want to give their opinions, it's like, I don't care what you think the world is, because you don't understand what the real world is.
Exactly.
Why do people think that celebrity equals intelligence? Because you played a really smart person on your last fucking movie? You're an actor. You're pretending.
I think it's even worse than that, because you have people like pop stars that had their auto-tuned shit voice turn into something that a producer created on a beat and then said, hey, you're going to look good. Go to the gym 4 days a week, and then your political matters.
Matt Damon can't really do calculus in his head.
He can't.
He can't.
Well,
Russell Crowe can't do it either.
And Matt Damon never worked for the real CIA.
Wow. I would guarantee if you put me down in the room, I could outmath Matt Damon and Russell Crowe put the fucking together.
Evan, I'm gonna pull the reins back here on this one and say Matt Damon is Jason Bourne. We're lucky for his service, and we should be thanking him. Jared, who are you voting for in this election?
Listen, Ross, I'm too fucking stupid to have an opinion.
You gotta yeah. Gun to your head. You're in Tiananmen Square. Who do you choose?
Here's the thing. You know what I do like is, for the first time, I've always said this. If you look at the families and you look at the names that have been president of the United States,
Taylor,
you had wealthy families, you had wealthy individuals, but really, what would be their worth in the business world if you had to give them a salary? And for once, Donald Trump is worth so much money. He has had to control so many employees and done so much for business that, all right, why not? Let's see how this goes. Let's see how it goes when now you're in charge of the country and you've been profitable for how many years?
Yeah, and to those people who bash him for saying, oh, well, he's had, so many businesses go bankrupt or whatever, I'm going to be honest. If you start fucking 300...
He has a tower.
Yeah.
He has a few towers.
If you start 300 businesses, they're not all going to be successful. You're going to fail.
Hold on. And it's all small business owners. They're like, come on, shit fails. And it's fails, like, that's holding someone accountable
fails.
For...
Yeah.
Hey, well, give your analogy of an entrepreneur, a true one. What are you doing when you're doing a startup?
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, man, and this is what I always say, which is a person that has never failed. I mean, what do you define a person that's never failed?
Yeah.
How do you define them as a coward,
right?
Exactly.
A person that,
they played it safe.
Yeah, exactly. And a person that's never tried or continues to fail, what do you call them?
Yeah, because, I mean, look.
A fucking failure.
Soldier, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you continue to fucking, if you can try, you can try, you can try. But if you have a habitual record of just failure after failure after failure after failure, you're a fucking failure, right? But you're not a fucking coward.
I want to add to this while you're on this, is when I was an instructor for the TACP Schoolhouse, the worst students I ever had were the star jocks coming from their hometown and the ones that everybody worshiped them. And it always came down to that conversation. Like they would be the ones that would lose their shit and break down. And I would sit them down and go, no one has ever told you are fucking worthless, have they? No, they haven't. Yeah, you've been worshipped your whole life because you could either run fast or catch a ball great. Well, guess what? You're shitty at everything else. So.
And the grind, man. I mean, not to use a fucking Gary Vaynerchuk thing where it's like, you know, if you've never been in the grind, meaning like just grounded fucking out, man. And I was explaining this to Edwin Parnell. He works for us. He's a fucking fantastic American, former Green Beret. He works for us today. He's like, hey, what'd you do with that old roaster, your first roaster that you started with? I was like, I fucking sold it. He's like, what? Why did you sell it? I'm like, because the first year that I had Black Rifle Coffee, I didn't make any fucking money. And I sold it for $2,000 so I could pay rent. And he's like,
and
shut the fuck up.
And you capped out all your credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry to put that out there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's like, man, if you've never like quite literally driven to the ragged edge, you've never lived. And the people that I respect. And so when I look at a guy like Donald, right? So, and I'll call him like fucking Donald or Donald Trump or whatever you want to call him. It's like, ultimately he did. He inherited, or he walked into a significant amount of wealth, right?
Yes.
So he has never quite literally built something out of nothing. He hasn't. Now, right. He's built buildings out of nothing, but he had capital in order to do that. We've never had a person necessarily for at least the last, you know, 100 years in that executive office that has ground everything down to nothing and then risen from fucking quite literally ash.
But the one thing, and I cannot believe I'm going to fucking say this. I really cannot believe I'm going to say this. But Michael Moore had a great point.
I know. Hey, and we'll play Donald Trump at the end of the show tonight.
Yep. Is not afraid to tell fucking major corporations to get fucked if they're not going to do things essentially what's right and within our borders and things like that. So it's like that when he was talking about that, when the motor companies that wanted to move out of Detroit, and he's like, cool, I'm going to tax the fuck out of you to make it so expensive for you to build cars outside of the U.S. that you're just going to give up.
or bring the fucking company back home.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a hard line there between like free commerce and like let's keep it in the United States. So
yeah,
we obviously know as all business owner, like, hey, should I pay fucking $15 for a mug in the United States or $3 in China? It's a hard press, especially in a small business. It's super hard. Good thing we do all of ours in the United States. What
up?
Speaking of business. On the we keep talking about Donald Trump and talking about business and everything and his inherited wealth and yep. He's basically been wealthy his entire life.
Yep.
so the Clintons together as a pair, they've never, before Bill was the president, these were not wealthy people at all. And the president of the United States, by constitutional right, makes $200,000 a year. That's it. That's not millions of dollars.
Correct.
It's $200,000 a year. So.
But I know what their book deals are worth, homeboy.
If that's where they came from, and they only made, and he only made $200,000 a year, and that was his biggest shit up until then, how are they untouchable millionaires now?
Well,
that's a really questionable thing.
Speeches, it's super easy. Yeah, speeches, and obviously with those WikiLeaks, the pay to play. So you got
pay
money to hang out with them.
A lot of those guys they'll do book deals during their presidency.
Yeah,
and then a lot of other things showing where like, hey, the state of fucking, let's just say New York wants you to get in to do a public speech. $250,000 to get that fucking speech. So, I mean,
I agree.
If you want to know the Obamas,
their actual worth is well above anything that's really acceptable for what or believable for what position that they're in now.
And Kit, I'll put it this way. I'll give the audience an inside tip if they want it. I know the Obamas deal after they get out of office.
What is it?
It's $26 million. He gets 14.5. She gets 11.5. And they're each doing a book. So
wow.
Yeah. They can't wait to get out of office, Kit. They can't wait until inauguration in January.
Like, the Obamas right now, they got 100 days out. They're just like, we're rolling.
We made it. They're amped about it.
Hey, but guess what, Ross? That's a good thing, man. You know, we could bitch all day. I got my fucking closest friends here. I got some good whiskey. I'm slurring like I have fucking braces in my mouth.
You keep touching your teeth.
It's weird. It's super weird. We should talk about it, but it's
a great thing. But
Stolen Valor, Ross. That's what I want to get on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but by the way, not to leave you guys to hang out to dry, like, I'm the same. I'm voting for Trump. I think he's going to win, actually.
I didn't do prediction.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do predictions.
We'll get to it right now. Like, what's your honest gun-to-head prediction? I'm genuinely picking him, by the way.
Okay, my honest gun-to-my-head prediction is, We know, I mean, anybody that's been paying attention, anybody that actually looks at the real information and doesn't go, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. They happen in real life. I just think that all of the things that have come out about Hillary so far that should make her eligible for, you know, fucking
incarceration
for three hots in a cot.
Yeah.
And still she's fucking pumping strong. So I just think that machine is too strong at this point. That she's got or her people have enough of a plan, you know, for, you know,
see, so you think Hillary's going
to
win?
I'm going to go straight to calling it cheating the system.
Rigged.
For those people that are, you know, fucking diehard patriots that are like, oh, you got to believe in our system. Dude, our system can be hacked. We have seen it time and time again. I think that now that the new fucking FBI probe has come out, here's my prediction, and it's going to throw you for a little bit of a loop.
Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
I say Hillary barely skates through. She wins the election. Right after the election, the FBI fucking pins her. She gets put in jail. Her vice president takes over.
Tim Kaine. Wow. That is a lot. Wow. I like that. God damn it. Like welcome it. To the show, Kit Cope. I like that. You're going hard. Yeah, you're going good. Steady. Boom. Evan Hafer, what do you got for a prediction on this election? Who do you think is going to really win?
I've crunched the numbers. I'm looking at quite literally right now, I'm looking at the electoral map. And I just don't know how he's going to pull it out, man. So even if we look at like the general election votes and we say, if we had the same turnout, which we won't, we absolutely will not have the same turnout that we had with
no way.
With the 2012 or even previous 2008, we're not going to have the same turnout. So we're going to have low turnout based on just, you know, the general complacency of the population. We're probably going to have that by 80%.
I mean, it's crazy.
You know, I mean, yeah. But I will say this, that people aren't barnstorming to support Hillary. You know, you've got a fraction of the percentage that are barnstorming to support Hillary, and really that's like, you know, like round glasses wearing Portlandite fucking Prius driving, like total fucking Hillary, diehard Hillary fans, right?
Right.
And we all know who we're talking about. And we all know who we're talking about,
yeah.
Right? So
yeah,
those people are gonna turn out, they're gonna cast their vote for Hillary. We're going to see numbers. I think the last general election, I was looking at it, it's like 60 to 65 million, so they were within 5 million votes. And really, when we look at that, that's pretty tight.
But that doesn't matter. It's electoral.
But it was
it's
a fucking landslide in the electoral. It was a fucking landslide
right.
in
yeah,
the electoral.
Exactly.
And so even if it's tight, you know, the big states that are going to be knocked down by the blues, you know, we've got fucking California coming in at 55.
That's a good question. Do you think the election should be based off electoral votes, or should it be based off of like general populace?
Man, I don't know if we want to go down the rabbit hole right
general
now.
General populace. Like, go, no, go.
I'll tell you, I don't, like, I'm not a huge believer in the electoral college. I'm just not a huge believer in the electoral college.
It's horrible.
I'm not either, yeah. Yeah,
the electoral college was designed back in the day, and ultimately like some history
when wealthy landowners were the only ones voting.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you could actually predict it, and you could say, okay, ultimately like the states are going to continue to vote the way that the general population would. However, they didn't have these the vote skewing by changing demographics and changing lines. They didn't have illegals voting. They didn't have all these other these issues that we're facing today, right? With just the general casting, which you actually brought up earlier, Kit, which is like, I didn't even have to produce an ID. Well, what the fuck, man? Like, what's the barrier of entry then?
I could be anybody. I could go if I know my buddy fucking Jim who's not voting. I can go down the street 5 seconds later and be like, "Yo,
double
my name's fucking Jim." Jimmy,
I
think we're gonna go down the Bush Gore rabbit hole once again. It's gonna boil down to recount. Yeah. It's gonna be so fucking tight. And so when I say that, I think that ultimately it's gonna boil down to who has the most connections and who can persuade
the
individual
politician.
State or states. Yeah. To push the recounts, and that's going to be the Clintons because they're the powerhouse in politics.
Okay,
so this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Way more connections, and I would say that you're going to have the Trump base. It's going to be way more ignited, but you're going to have the Clintons that you're fighting the persuasion
the
of politics.
The big machine,
right? The big machine, brother.
Yeah. So so you got the Clintons as well, Matt Best, gun to cheekbone. Who you taking? Like, who do you think's gonna? Ooh, who do you think's actually going to win?
Not the cheekbones.
Not the cheekbones.
That's what I'm saying. You got to pick one, dog. You got to pick one. Pick a president or pick a cheekbone.
Evan and I are usually pretty on point. It's a scary process right now. Like, I think I was hoping with the when the FBI reopened the case against Hillary that would have a little bit, but I think that like just more well known Hillary from the average, and this is super rude, but like. Dumb American perspective, she's more approachable.
Okay.
And so I know where my vote goes. It's not to her, but
that's your prediction.
Because she kind of pulls the proletariat vote.
I don't want it. You know, well, it's back and forth.
Because Trump is the rich guy that anybody that doesn't have money hates the rich guy.
Well,
we all don't have money.
I'm being a betting man with Ross's question because she has the backing of the Democratic Party and President Obama and Michelle Obama, who are already in office. Like, they're consistently promoting that. And like, I seriously swear the dubbed down of what or adolescent cultures become with fucking social media. They believe what people tell them.
Yep.
Oh my God. I love, like we talked about this earlier. I love Beyonce. She's voting for Hillary. I'll vote for fucking Hillary. And it's the case of what's been going on. So, It's a hard beat. It's a hard beat, and it scares me obviously because I work closely with the NRA, and I'm very very pro Second Amendment. And
you fought hard for this country.
Yeah, I wasted 10 years. Not wasted, but I spent 10 years of my life fucking deploying for this shit. So it's hard to see fucking assholes vote on a. We need a strong woman in the office. Of course, I would love a strong woman in the office if she's fucking qualified. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, Ross.
All right, Hillary. Jared, who you got?
Well, I have to retort back to what I've learned now as an adult. And it's not about, sadly, the world works, not about what's right and wrong. It's about who you know. And Trump is anti-politicians. He wants to push term limits. He wants to get corrupt individuals out. Like, honestly, the Clintons are so deep in, they're gonna do everything that it's like the fucking throwing a fucking blowtorch to the fucking rat's nest, and they're all gonna band together.
Say the name, Jared. Say the name.
I
when no one is
I just
around.
I don't want to say it. I just
Pick
don't.
It.
I don't.
But you think she's gonna win?
I'm gonna be so sad. Well, yeah, because it's just, there's too much control and power, like there, where there are ways to rig this. There are ways to fix it. There are ways to control it. There are people in place from the fucking county sheriff all the way up to the fucking state congressman and the state legislators, state senate, and everything like that, that all start thinking about what they did that's fucked up that Trump might target them for, and they're all gonna go, oh, okay, we're gonna make sure she's taken care of because she isn't gonna come after us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
All right. So I'll cap off this this election prediction before we get to your stolen valor guy with I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I'm going to say Trump is going to win.
Boom. Let's hope so.
And here is why. Me personally, I got to be a part of I got to see the campaign up close and personal. When I'm on, I write a lot. Typically day to day, I keep news on in the background. CNN, they're always going to a Trump rally, no matter where he's at. And attending one of those Trump rallies, I've seen the crowds themselves. I've never seen a crowd like this.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
In Los Angeles, I saw it. I voted every year in my life. I try to involve myself in the election. I was in Austin, Texas when the Bush-Gore thing happened in 2000. I was in LA for 2008 with Obama, and I will say this. It was the same way. It was the same excitement and enthusiasm for Obama as I see for Trump, where in LA, there was lines around the block to see this guy.
Right.
With Trump, there's lines around the block to see this guy. Where I was at, there's lines around the block to see this guy. You know, you take the day after the scandal broke for Hillary Clinton. She had 900 people at a rally the next day in Florida. Trump was in Florida the same day because this is swing state. So is North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Nevada.
Trump had 20,000 people. 20,000 to 900. He goes Facebook Live, YouTube Live with every single speech he's done. He's doing on average 2 to 3 cities a day. I've never seen it under 100,000 live viewers. I've never seen Hillary do it whatsoever. The one time I did happen to catch her on social media going live, finally trying to catch up to Trump. And I would say this is only recently within the last 2 weeks. So I think she's really behind in the social media game. I know she trails him on Twitter and Instagram already, but the view number on YouTube and Facebook has got to be devastating, Trump versus Hillary. But here's what I caught on the last Hillary video that I saw when she was going live is it's green screen. If you look closely at everybody these days in the front, you know, 2 to 3 rows of a concert, a speech, or, you know, some public forum like a baseball game, is typically waving a camera phone. In all of these camera phones, I can see the green screen in the background. I think what the American public is being fed is that there's a ton of people at her rallies. The media, sure as fuck, CNN and everything else, is certainly make it seem like she's winning, she's killing, she's crushing. I can tell you there's a green screen, and those crowds behind her aren't real. The crowds on the sides aren't real. Her last four places that she stopped at, it has been a green screen in the background. Just look closely at the phones. And I think all of this combined between the media and what they're trying to force feed us is luring the public into a false sense of hope, saying, hey, guys, everything's going to be okay. She's going to win. You don't have to vote. And I think the real people who are, you know, absolutely serious about guns and religion and things like that are actually going to go to the polls. And I think Trump is going to win by 2%. I'm going to say 46-44. Wow. Trump. Yes.
That is a precise.
That's a precise.
Wait, I'll go that. Nate Silver on it. I think in the swing states, I think he's going to win Ohio. I think he's going to win Florida. And I think he's going to win North Carolina. Okay. But I do not think he'll win Pennsylvania. So
do you think he'll win Nevada?
But I'm looking at it, man.
I think he'll win Nevada, by the way. I 100% do.
I'm looking at it. I'm saying, okay, you know, I'm on board, bro. Like I'm totally on board with this. And I'm saying, even with Florida, even with Ohio, so even if he drops Iowa, so
but
even
I think he'll win Iowa.
He's dropping Iowa.
That's what I'm saying. Like yeah, I think I'm he'll saying, win like, Iowa. Even yeah. if he drops Iowa. So are you saying that he takes North Carolina and Georgia, Wisconsin, like or like every
yes.
fucking state?
Yes.
Okay.
So well, no, right, so, no, but I'll say Georgia, I'll say North Carolina, and I'll say Wisconsin. Where things get tricky is kind of the weirder states. Like I know him and Hillary stopped in North Dakota about 2 days ago, which I've never even met somebody from North Dakota.
Fuck no, and it's three votes.
Yeah. So
it's fucking three votes.
It must be that close. If you're fighting over North Dakota, you're worried that it's going to be super close in the electoral college.
You're quite literally like when I look at this map right now,
yeah.
And I'm dropping it down all the way down here to, I just clicked off everything else red.
Yep.
And the blues are known, right? Washington, Oregon, California.
Correct.
Colorado's actually semi swing, but I think it's going to go Hillary.
I would say Hillary
so
as
everything
well.
Else
yes.
Is,
correct.
Yeah. Cause we're legal.
Everything else, it's going to boil down to you've got Nevada and Arizona out here.
Yes.
So those are the big numbers, right? Arizona's got 11.
Correct.
And I would be fighting fucking tooth and nail right now for AZ. Like I would be fucking back and forth.
Well,
AZ.
For some reason, you know, McCain is governor in Arizona. He thinks he's got Arizona locked down. I hope that's true because I look.
No offense to McCain whatsoever because I respect the shit out of him, but I would absolutely not fucking rely on anything McCain says.
Exactly.
Sheriff Arpaio has more power in that state than fucking John McCain
does. That's exactly where the fuck I would go. Like, and Jared took the words out of my mouth. I would be down there with the fucking orange uniforms going, fuck yeah, Sheriff, you got a goddamn good deal going here. Yep. We need to protect the border, and I'm going to build a fucking wall. And we need to get people out to the voting booths. And AZ, dude, it is going to boil down. Like, quite literally, when we look at this, Florida, obviously, that's close to 30. We're looking at 29 votes.
Yep.
I really think, and it went Obama, I mean, the last two elections, but I think we, that's when I say we could be looking at another hanging Chad.
Yes. What state do you think, Evan?
Well, I mean, Florida, man. I mean, where are we at in the polls on Florida?
Florida, like, Trump is actually way ahead. The two that are toss-ups, and again, this is all according to polls, and I don't know how much you believe in that shit. I remember the last election. Romney was up by +5 going into the final day, and everybody's polls,
and it just got fucking smashed.
It meant nothing.
He got smashed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to say that for the audience. You know, of like, oh, hey, here's what the polls say. I'm telling you what the polls say. Don't believe the polls. Believe yourself. So the polls currently have him winning Florida. They flip that. They think Hillary can get North Carolina. And they think Hillary is going to get Pennsylvania and that's her path. That's her path to victory.
If Trump rolls Florida and he rolls NC, it will boil down to Nevada and hopefully your vote. Your vote in Nevada and then AZ. So we've got
exactly.
We've got
so essentially,
AZ and
Kit Cope is the future of America.
It really swings on me.
We could go 274, 258. I mean, but if any one of those states falls, we're looking at 275, 257. So that's kind of where my prediction is. It's going to be fucking tight electoral vote. Tighter than any other election we've seen.
Electoral votes are so fucking stupid.
They're fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a state with a fucking million people that fucking outdoes. Not today. I never knew it in like fifth grade when I heard about it, and then when I was like an adult going through college, I was like, wait, that's actually how our political system works. Wait, no, but that
it's fucking laughable, right?
But ma'am, that makes no sense. Can I contradict that?
Yeah. Anyway, show up with just a last name. That's all I got to say. Hey, man, I'll get a piece of chalk and a piece of paper and go out to a gravestone. Fuck yeah.
My name's Jamal. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I got $14. Watch me fuck this bum.
All right. So I'm actually Ross. Yeah. I want to change the podcast up a little from the political side.
No, at that note, we are done with the political. You guys, I think you had a great story about somebody who was stolen ballot.
Yes, we have
a
great story. Yeah. So, Kit Cope, if you guys don't know who he is, we introduced him earlier in the show. Badass Muay Thai guy. I mean, his jiu-jitsu sucks.
He's very Thai. He's very Thai.
I'm just kidding. I said that because it's across the room.
Hey, he speaks Thai. I have gone to a Thai restaurant with Kit.
He speaks Thai.
Oh, yeah.
Speaks Thai.
Nah.
Kit is an all-around amazing guy.
In the microphone.
Yeah, so he said, "Hey, how's it going? How you doing?"
Yeah, exactly.
Kit's an all-around amazing guy, and Jared and I were transiting through Vegas, and I think we had Jacqueline Carrizosa ended up coming hanging out with us that night. You came out and a couple other people, but if you want to tell a story, because it's good.
Oh, man.
We're sitting at the bar drinking. It's Jared, Taylor, myself, and Kit Cope, and then we had America's finest. Yeah.
What shirt were you wearing?
I was wearing like a coffee shirt, and you were wearing like an R15 shirt, Jared, something like that.
No, it was like a Nike shirt or something, but it had some sort of veteran something on it.
You're describing two women talking right now.
Yeah.
You were wearing a thing and a little thing.
Anyway. So this dude, 5 foot nothing, rolls up to us. I'm sorry, Evan. I'm sorry. He was less than 5 foot nothing. He was way shorter than you.
Nice. Okay.
He rolls up and he says to Matt, we're all just kind of, you know, sitting around, you know, shooting the shit and having our own conversation. And this guy rolls up like right in the middle of all of us. And he goes, what's up with your shirt? To Matt. And Matt's like, oh, yeah, just, you know, I like to support our veterans and everything. And the guy goes, you serve? And Matt's like, yeah, I did. Did you serve? And the guy, I did. Oh, man, he served in every branch.
Every branch.
He served in every branch. He trained in everything, and Matt was actually super cool, because instead of Matt saying, yeah, hey, look, I'm actually a fucking superstar murderer, instead of going there, he was like, hey, man, that's really cool, I appreciate your service, man, thanks. And the guy just keeps going on, and he's like,
well, he said
randomly
at some point, he said he got shot
in the stomach. I got it.
This was the intro. Like, he came up to us and he goes, you serve? And Matt's like, yeah, I did. He's like, did you? He's like, yeah, I did. 3rd Battalion, 75th Rangers. And then like ears perked up and everything, and he lifts his shirt up and he goes, I got shot with a 50 cal in Afghanistan.
No.
In 1999.
No. I got shot with a 50. He had like a pockmark in his stomach. And he goes, I got shot with a 50 cal, 50 clicks out of Kandahar
in 99
93
yeah. or 93
93
and then I go I literally Ross like without a beat I go man normally 50 cals rip bodies in half but I guess you were just lucky.
but the funniest part
that old 50 cal gets you, you know.
Yeah.
A scar, but just a little nick, you know, a little nick, no big deal.
So then he,
that's the funny thing. It's like he tried to contest everything. So like he played the Ranger out. He's like, the 75th Rangers. And I was like, man, you don't know anything about battalions. So
then,
like,
he said he was a Green Beret.
And then and a comms guy and an air or a JTAC or whatever
he's
said.
He's like, yeah, I know airstrikes. And I go, oh, you know airstrikes?
Which is the worst
position. Do you know
about
the GBU-38? Tell me about that. He's like, ah. I was like, ah, tell me about the attack profiles. What attack profiles would you use on a GB3? The few versions, the versions that are out. Which ones would you prefer?
This dude's just like, well, you know, I don't like to get into that stuff. You know, you don't even want to know about my kill count.
Yeah.
Remember
then, that? Yeah. Then he said he was a Green Beret, and I was like, oh, you're in the queue. Hey, tell me about that, because Kit was standing. Now we're all in a circle.
And then he goes,
Robin Sage. That's all I got to say. I go, okay, so our friend Kit has never been in the military. Kit, here's how the Q course work. First, there's selection. Then you got phase two. Then you probably go to MOS school. Then you go to language school. Then you have Sear and Robin Sage and everything. Like, but you were in all those, right? Right. And I'm looking at him, and he's like, I went through all
that shit.
But Ross, the best part about the story is because we're all there. He was saying he's part of Rangers, and then he was blah 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 blah. So we put him in such a corner to the fact that he was like, fuck, I'm in trouble. I'm just going to lash out. And he goes, well, I'm a pro fighter. I know these guys.
And he goes, I'm a Muay Thai fighter.
And we have Kit Cope saying that. And that was the first time that night, because you were being super patient, dude.
Yeah. So were you. So were you.
Thank you. But I'm not going to fight, man. I'll fucking knock him out in a second. But like the second he was like, I'm a Muay Thai, I think you put your pizza down and looked around and like, oh, God, I cannot wait to hear this.
Digging. I'm like, tell me all about it. Oh, yeah, you know, I trained with...
He trained everybody.
Yeah, I trained this guy and that guy and this guy, and do you know who this is? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I heard of him. You know, I dabble here.
I dabble.
Like this was... He also said he was a fucking CIA contractor. Like, you couldn't have wrote this out. Like, you couldn't have said, man,
that's all I gotta
believe. This guy just ran into
the entire gambit. The entire gambit.
A fucking Muay Thai champion and a JTAC, and he just went around the world saying he was an expert in all three, had no clue.
I couldn't have hired somebody to do this.
Like out of central casting. I got you. So what was the end result? What happened to this guy?
Essentially the end result, man, he was drunk and he kept hitting ground.
We just didn't want, like, we weren't violent at all. Like, we just wanted to, like, just leave us alone, dude. Like, we were passing him off to people.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, it was like, oh, man, he, what you just said, he knows a lot about that. And then we would run away.
Yeah, like, gradually, one by one, like, people were peeling away from him, and he would just go to the next guy and try to chat him up.
He was like, I don't know what his deal is in life, but yeah, that's why we didn't fuck him up, because it's like, everything he brought up was he was a JTAC. He was an MMA fighter. He had a kit here. He said he worked for the
AMC. We felt bad.
I worked for the AMC with the Ranger stuff. So it was just kind of like at one point, I got a little aggressive. Too.
50 clicks out of Kandahar in 93.
50 clicks.
I was like, dude. But I was fucking with him, but he didn't know it because he was drunk. I was like, dude, 50K out of Kandahar in 93. Like, I don't even think the Russians were there then. Like, you were just on your own, weren't you? He's like, yeah, man. Yeah, I was on my own. That's how we work.
By the way, 50 clicks straight converts to 15 miles. Because remember, later it was 15 miles.
There you go.
Yeah. No. I know that kid from the first person I killed. That was the length.
Right.
So.
Man. It was a funny storyteller, and like people always get beat up about these stolen valor things. And I think all of us that night were just like, man, we're just trying to drink a beer. Like,
yeah,
you couldn't have disproved yourself more.
Oh, he stepped on an IED too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he stepped on.
That happens, Kit. That happens.
He had a scar on his calf that looked like it got chewed up in a bicycle chain, maybe.
That's when I got mad, was because he was like, yeah, you know, and then I went to work for the agency, and I was like, okay, you're just...
Come on, guy.
You're being a faggot. And I was like, so, did you do... I was like, oh, so like GRS, that GB, what'd you do? And he was just like, I can't talk about it. And I was like, all right,
I don't really talk about it.
Yeah, right. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. And his girlfriend grabbed me. Man, he's going to get punched in the face sooner or later.
Yeah, his girlfriend kind of saved him on that
one. Was she hot?
Hey.
What saved him?
Bad.
She was like, all right, yeah. She could see that he was in trouble. And she was like, yeah, okay, well, it's time to go. Let's go ahead and go now. And she's like kind of pulling him away.
I think what saved him ultimately was the fact we had drove from Phoenix to Vegas. We were excited to be out with Kit. Like, all we wanted to do was fucking hang out and talk, because this was before your wedding. So we were We were all stoked, looking forward to that. We were moving to Salt Lake at the time, like driving up to Salt Lake for the first. It was just like he lucked out on that night because he got us all in a mood where it was like, dude, this is we don't have time for this at this point.
Yeah.
We were just trying to have a beer and hang out.
Well, that's all it was. It was good food that night.
Hey, look.
And Jared was entertaining. He was kind of meandering from crowd to crowd, entertaining, doing little stand-up routines.
And that's the way it should be. That's what Jared does. That's what he's best at. That's Jared, you know?
And then all of a sudden you meet the vice president of Goldstream, and it's like, fuck it. All right, we're good.
Well, hey, Kit, Evan, Jared, Matt, I appreciate the opinions and actually going for it tonight. This was a nice episode. Yeah, look, a lot of people in this election are keeping their choices to their chest. But what we're not keeping to our chest is the drinking bro of the week. The drinking bro of the week comes from a guy named Tom Ramsey, and he's nominating Travis Cash. I don't mean to snicker, but I kind of read ahead here in the copy, and it says, a little over 3 years ago, a buddy of mine who should be referred to as Henry was in a bad place. He just failed out of Special Forces qualification course at Fort Bragg and was slated for PCS to Alaska. Travis decided he needed one last hurrah. So him and his buddy went down to Wilmington, ironically, where he faked an Australian accent to hook up with a girl. These girls invited him to stay at their beach house for the weekend. And Travis, he faked an entire Australian accent for 4 days. And his buddy nominated him for Drinking Bro of the Week, which I think is fucking awesome.
Hey, that's a chapter in my book, actually. I've been there. I've had to fake an Irish life for a month. I had to create a whole new Facebook too, Ross, with Irish friends that live in Ireland and everything like
tell
that.
Tell me you picked like a soccer team. You picked an Irish soccer team to root for.
Too. Oh, absolutely. I knew where I went to high
you
school.
You colonized. You fully colonized.
I had my address memorized. I was from Arcane, which is 46 kilometers northwest of Dublin. And my walk to high school was about a kilometer point two. Because if you use the metric system in front of women, like they just assume. They're like,
where did you get these stats at that age?
Once I had realized I was in deep, like I was wasted, I saw all these guys go up to this table and fail, and I was like, I'm gonna get a seat at that table with all those girls. And I walked up with the Irish accent. I got the seat. I kept playing. Well, when they invited me to their condo the next day, I did research, so I had a backstory of myself. So I picked a place to live. I picked what my high school was. I picked everything. Like I
how
just
did
started.
It stretch out to a month?
Because she wanted to date. So I had to create a new Facebook. I had to get all Irish friends.
A full month.
I had to.
That is that's a lot of work.
I drove to Atlanta from Fort Walton. I had to do the accent for 4 straight days. Like, but I don't want to give you the finale because this is a chapter in the book, which is called Fishing with Nets. It's a tale of 138 plenty of fish dates. where this chapter is actually called I Guess I'm from Ireland Tonight.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to this.
Her name was Brittany in Atlanta. She's a graphic designer.
Hey, congratulations. Way to go, Brittany.
If you
also
know Brittany.
Thank
if
you.
You know Brittany.
Tom
tell
Ramsey.
That fucking then Seamus is not actually Seamus.
Okay. All right. Well, look.
The first time Brittany and I had sex, she found an earring in my bed. That was awkward.
Oh, God. Of course she did. Well, look, we're gonna cheers to Travis Cash.
Hell
cheers
yeah.
Cheers to Tom
time.
Ramsey. And Jared, one day we'll just do a whole episode about you and your plenty of fish. I can promise you. But in the meantime, we're going to thank everybody for listening tonight. Go to drinkingbrospodcast.com for all your T-shirts and fucking gear. For our special guest, Mr. Kit Cope. JT&T Taylor, Matt Best.
It's not my nickname.
And our always special guest, Evan Hafer. I'm Ross Patterson, and we are out of here.
Stay tuned for that shocking Michael Moore clip I was talking about where he actually says he's going to vote for Trump. Here it is.
Cheers.
Hey. Donald Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit and build them in Mexico, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the Brexit states. You live here in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. Whether Trump means it or not is kind of irrelevant because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. He is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for. The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. And on November 8th, Election Day, although they've lost their jobs, although they've been foreclosed on by the bank, next came the divorce, and now the wife and kids are gone, the car's been repoed, they haven't had a real vacation in years, they're stuck with the shitty Obamacare bronze plan where you can't even get a fucking Percocet. They've essentially lost everything they had, except one thing. The one thing that doesn't cost them a cent and is guaranteed to them by the American Constitution, the right to vote. They might be penniless, they might be homeless, they might be fucked over and fucked up. It doesn't matter because it's equalized on that day. A millionaire has the same number of votes as the person without a job, one. And there's more of the former middle class than there are in the millionaire class. So on November 8th, the dispossessed will walk into the voting booth, be handed a ballot, close the curtain, and take that lever or felt pen or touchscreen and put a big fucking X in the box by the name of the man who has threatened to upend and overturn the very system that has ruined their lives. Donald J. Trump. They see that the elites who ruined their lives hate Trump. Corporate America hates Trump. Wall Street hates Trump. The career politicians hate Trump. The media hates Trump after they loved him and created him and now hate him. Thank you, media. The enemy of my enemy is who I'm voting for on November 8th. Yes, on November 8th, you, Joe Blow, Steve Blow, Bob Blow, Billy Bob Blow, all the Blows get to go and blow up the whole goddamn system because it's your right. Trump's election is going to be the biggest fuck you ever recorded in human history. And it will feel good.